WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. The first trial in the case of the alleged shopping cart killer has been moved to January. Despite recent rains, Rockingham County's water table is down 11 feet since May, and the area is still under a severe drought. And unemployment in Virginia is up, though only slightly. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, September 24th. The first trial in the case of the alleged shopping cart killer was scheduled to begin Monday. The court has moved it to January, WMRA's Randy B. Hagee explains.
Anthony Eugene Robinson, who's been dubbed the shopping cart killer by law enforcement, will not go to trial until January 27th. He was previously scheduled to be tried for the murder of Tanita Larice Smith of Charlottesville this week and Aileen Beth Redman of Harrisonburg in January. Now, the two cases will be tried together. Robinson's defense had unsuccessfully pushed for this outcome earlier this month. But after that hearing, prosecutors submitted additional evidence in the case. A DNA analysis and autopsies from other victims Robinson is suspected of killing in Washington, D.C. and Fairfax County. The defense objected that this evidence was submitted just 18 or 19 days before trial, rather than the minimum 21 days required by law. Commonwealth's attorney Marcia Garst then moved for the trials to be combined and continued to January. She did not address the defense's argument about timing, but wrote that the expert who prepared the DNA reports in Sonia Champ's case was unable to testify this week. However, she is available for January. Garst added that the victims' families have been consulted and concur with the delay. Champ's body was found in a shopping cart in D.C. in September 2021, about 3 weeks before Cheyenne Brown, one of the victims later found in Fairfax, went missing. In the following 2 months, both Redman and Smith went missing. Their bodies were found in Harrisonburg, and Robinson was arrested. For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
You can find our previous reporting on this case at WMRA.org and on the app. Despite recent rains, Rockingham County's water table is down 11 feet since May. WHSV reports that decline has accelerated. The U.S. Geological Survey says the county's water table has dropped 3 feet in just the last 30 days. The U.S. Drought Monitor for Virginia shows much of Rockingham and Augusta counties under a severe drought. The forecast may provide some relief. Several inches of rain are in the forecast through this weekend. A program that lets American households receive up to 4 free COVID tests in the mail is reopening soon. The Department of Health and Human Services is restarting the program ahead of the respiratory virus season. No date has been announced for when people can order the free at-home tests from covidtests.gov. When sign-up begins, it will allow households to request nasal swab tests that are able to detect current COVID strains. To date, more than 900 million tests have been distributed through the mail. Second, gentleman Doug Emhoff will visit Charlottesville on Wednesday to take part in a training with University of Virginia School of Law students. The Daily Progress reports that Emhoff, the husband of Vice President Kamala Harris and himself an attorney, will join Law Democrats, a UVA student group, for a voter protection training at a location near campus. The trip is part of the Harris campaign's broader effort to combat voter suppression. Virginia's economy saw a slight increase in unemployment rates, according to data released last week. Jad Khalil with VPM News has more on what those numbers mean.
The cost of living and the economy are the most important issues to Virginians, according to polls. Last week, we got one of the few remaining snapshots into the economy before voting ends on November 5th. The numbers said unemployment in Virginia ticked up by 0.1% to 2.8%. The Bureau of Labor Statistics said that's not a significant difference from changes in the U.S. economy more broadly. The U.S. at large has an unemployment rate of 4.5%. Another number that's important is the labor force participation rate. Two-thirds of Virginians of working age population are either working or actively looking for work. That's close to the highest it's been in the past 10 years. Last week, the Federal Reserve decided to cut interest rates by 0.5%. That's because they're considering inflation to be less of a risk to the economy.
Jad Khalil reporting. Now the campaign season has started. Television viewers can expect to see political ads during college football and the local news. And that ad spending is also moving online. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Broadcast TV ads once held such a significant place in American politics that candidates would raise millions of dollars to flood the airwaves in an effort to get elected. Now, a significant chunk of that is moving online. David Ramadan is a former Republican delegate who is now at the Schar School at George Mason University.
Digital ads are not only necessary for campaigns because that's where people are getting their news from, but digital ads are essential, in my opinion, for any campaign to spread their message.
But there might not be as much difference between a broadcast ad and a digital ad as you might think. Democratic strategist Ben Tribbett says a huge percentage of streaming ads appear on smart TVs.
If you're airing an ad on YouTube because someone's using the YouTube app on their smart TV, it's appearing in their living room on their 80-inch TV, the same way that a television ad would. So that's why most media companies are moving towards sort of a screen-neutral approach.
So the content of the ads might be screen-neutral, but the prices aren't. Broadcast advertising remains significantly more expensive than streaming ads, potentially changing the way campaigns decide to allocate resources in the future. Michael Pope.
Virginians may not know there are 7 independent nations in our state that require the same treatment afforded to leaders of other countries. But the sovereignty of Virginia's federally recognized tribes comes with a steep learning curve. Also with Virginia Public Radio, Pamela D'Angelo reports.
Tribal consultation and consent. Those were the key topics of this year's 4th annual Sovereign Nations of Virginia Conference just outside Richmond. A packed room and another 400-plus online listened to experts discuss the difference in those words as tribes seek more power to protect ancient sacred lands, waters, and burial sites.
Everybody else has a burial ground and nobody bothers it. Our history was here for thousands of years, and people walk on our history every day and they don't even know it.
That's Chief Ann Richardson talking outside after the conference ended. The state's dark history of indigenous erasure and a sparse public school curriculum about the tribes has led some Virginians to mistrust tribal leaders. Governor Glenn Youngkin, before signing a new law that will embed consultation into some state permits, removed the word consent. That did not go over well with the tribes. Chief Ann explains what consent would actually do.
We would be there to analyze the data, to make sure the studies were done and they were done accurately, and build a relationship with these people and help them to understand if we don't give consent, it's not because we're just trying to stop your project. It's because there's something there that is immensely important to us that we don't want destroyed.
Tribes are also part of a new commission to update Virginia laws to incorporate the sovereign nations. That process awaits the governor to appoint an ombudsman. Tribal members have applied for that position. I'm Pamela D'Angelo.
And finally today, Metallica is coming to Virginia Tech for a concert in the spring. NBC 10 reports that the university has been trying to host the band there for a while, especially because the football team's entrance song is Enter Sandman. The concert will be held at Lane Stadium on May 7th, and there will be a 6,000-seat student section with tickets for $49 through a lottery ticket system. Proceeds from the concert will be split between the band and the university. General admission tickets go on sale this Friday. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Tuesday.